Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So today I wanted to talk about potential hidden causes of perimenopausal symptoms, or so-called perimenopausal symptoms. So what I mean by this is that the change in hormonal landscape that is perimenopause, so the dramatic highs and lows of estrogen that I've described in many, many episodes before this, and the decline in progesterone, obviously we know, as I've talked about in many episodes before this, brings about various and many different symptoms and challenges. You know, for example, the ones that we know of that's out there on social media, the ones that I talk about a lot, you know, fatigue, brain fog, trouble concentrating, trouble focusing, memory issues, headaches, migraines, weight gain, joint pain, anxiety, heavy periods, poor sleep, histamine reactions, you know, all the different symptoms that I have talked about, and of course, many more. That hormonal upheaval can cause those symptoms, right? And many women enter perimenopause expecting some level of hormonal upheaval causing some level of symptoms. But what if the symptoms they're experiencing aren't just about shifting estrogen and progesterone? Because while these hormonal fluctuations can cause these symptoms, they aren't always the root cause. And usually what happens is we may have a certain imbalance or health challenge in the body. And when we move into perimenopause, those hormonal fluctuations amplifies these health challenges or these symptoms, these imbalances that we already had. And the root cause of any imbalances and health challenges is always what we should be addressing if we want genuine and permanent relief of those symptoms and any health risks that they bring. And so this is a really important conversation. The change in hormonal landscape isn't always the sole culprit. These symptoms could be signaling deeper underlying health issues that have been lurking beneath the surface for however long. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. So some of those underlying health issues could be cortisol dysregulation. Now, many of us talk about cortisol in terms of mine's really low, mine must be really high. Most of that is guesswork based on symptoms that we know of low or high cortisol, or somebody being very stressed would assume that they have high levels. But when it comes to cortisol, it's essentially about dysregulation. And that means quite a few things. So for example, there should be a ideal morning awakening response or particular level of cortisol upon waking, then 30 minutes and 60 minutes after waking, we want to see what that level is. This is something known as a cortisol awakening response. Some people don't have a response, they have a very blunted response. So for example, whether you have genuinely high or low levels of cortisol, that morning awakening response of cortisol is really important and can be the difference between going through the day feeling very fatigued, low energy, low mood, headache, and going through that day feeling great and fine and balanced. So that's something that we would take into account. Then we have what's known as the diurnal pattern of cortisol throughout the day. So essentially that's the pattern that cortisol follows from the morning to the evening. That's your daily pattern of cortisol. So again, whether you have high or low levels of cortisol, it's really about looking at what this pattern is. What sort of pattern is it following? Is it following the ideal pattern that would leave you with, you know, the right amount of energy at various times of day, or the opposite? And then, of course, if you do genuinely have high levels or low levels, that's something to address as well. That would be one example of an underlying health issue. Me personally, in my practice and practitioners like myself, functional medicine practitioners, nutritional therapists, or functional medicine doctors, we would use what's called a adrenal stress profile, which basically tests cortisol through saliva. So you would take a saliva sample upon waking, and then at 30 minutes after waking, 60 minutes after waking, and then at two other points in the evening as well. And that would give us an idea of what your daily pattern of cortisol is and what your cortisol morning awakening response is. We can also see from that whether levels are overall too high or too low. A person could have issues metabolizing and clearing out their used estrogen. So I've talked about this on previous episodes when I talked about how the body breaks down and clears out or detoxifies our used estrogen. When we use estrogen molecules, which is all day, every day, we need to use them and then completely lose them quite efficiently. And there's a multi-step breakdown process or metabolism process that occurs in the liver. And then once the liver's done its job, it sends that broken down estrogen into out through the bile into the gut, where it will be passed out the body permanently via a bowel movement. If anybody has any issues actually doing this process, whether that's with the liver, the multi-step process in the liver, whether that's actually clearing it out via regular bowel movements, then that can lead to a backup of used estrogen going back into the body. And this could have been happening in a person's 20s, 30s, and then they get to perimenopause and those crazy fluctuations in estrogen that we're faced with can just amplify that situation and then increase the likelihood of various symptoms, particularly that would be things like very heavy periods, painful periods, growth of cysts and fibroids, headaches, mood swings, rage, anger, just before your period, for example, and other PMS symptoms. Another imbalance could be that somebody has an underactive or an overactive thyroid. So that would be hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism, under or overactive. So that would be a health imbalance, essentially, that would be then amplified as that person moves into perimenopause and progesterone starts to decline, estrogen goes on a roller coaster. Anyone with either high or low functioning thyroid gland, thyroid hormone output is going to have the typical perimenopause symptoms amplified because of that. For example, thyroid dysfunction can cause fatigue, weight gain, brain fog. All of these can be blamed. It's very typical for these to be blamed on perimenopause. Autoimmune conditions. So that also includes autoimmunity of the thyroid gland. This is known as Hashimoto's disease. And in the case of Hashimoto's disease, so autoimmunity against the thyroid gland, that will become usually hypothyroidism. So for example, in the United States, the very big percentage of hypothyroidism cases are caused by Hashimoto's disease. I'm not really sure what the stats are in the UK, actually. But what I do with all of my clients, if anyone presents, if they tell me they've had blood work done at their GP or we do blood work together, and we see, for example, low T4, thyroid hormone, low T3, and TSH out of range, I'll always want to test their thyroid antibody just to make sure there's no presence of autoimmunity that could be causing the reduction in the thyroid hormone. So is that the cause of hypothyroidism or not? In some cases, it's stress that's the cause of hypothyroidism and lots of other things. In other cases, it is actually the autoimmunity against it. So as well as thyroid autoimmunity, obviously we have things like rheumatoid arthritis, which is autoimmunity against joints, lots of other autoimmune conditions. And perimenopause can be a tipping point for autoimmunity. So if somebody was prone to it, then moving into perimenopause can basically trigger it. So it's very, very common for women in their 40s to develop autoimmune conditions that were brewing for years. And then as they've moved into perimenopause, that change in those two hormones has triggered it. So great to kind of, look into that. If any symptoms like joint pain, for example, aren't being relieved through the various nutrition and lifestyle, habits and interventions that can relieve joint pain, if it's just not changing and it's, becoming really painful, it's just always helpful to be digging deeper. Is this not just perimenopause then? Is this something else? Mold toxicity and other environmental pollution. So exposure to mold, mycotoxins, so essentially yeast toxicity, can create chronic inflammation. It can create, and that can create things like fatigue, headaches, brain fog, memory issues, trouble focusing, all these sort of neurological symptoms that can really mimic hormonal changes, can mimic the typical symptoms of perimenopause that we go on about. So what if it is, as I said, for example, if somebody works through the foundational nutrition and lifestyle habits and interventions, and then they're also addressing things like any nutrient deficiencies, really making sure they're working on their stress, their food, all those foundational things, but nothing is changing, or maybe it's only improving a very, very slight amount, then you may want to consider, is there potential mold toxicity here? Is this person living in a moldy home? Are they going to work in a moldy space? Is there colonization of mold in their body that's leading to various neurological symptoms and fatigue and, all of these things, as I said, that are your typical perimenopause symptoms? Also chronic viral infection. So, for example, things like Epstein-Barr virus, very, very common for people to unknowingly know that they've actually got that sort of dormant virus that's reactivating under stressful situations, for example, or when they're unwell and their immune system's down. Also HPV, human papillomavirus, very common to not really realize that these are lying dormant. And that when they reactivate, for example, under stress, It can lead to certain symptoms that feel like fatigue and hormonal imbalance, and we just blame it on perimenopause. Chronic gut infections and microbiome imbalances, so the population of bacteria that's in our gut, any sort of imbalances there can just create various symptoms that we might again put down to hormonal changes. And gut health is so foundational to our overall well-being, and imbalances in the gut can contribute to mood swings, bloating, fatigue. If we have infections, so if we have any sort of overgrowths of pathogenic, unruly or naughty bacteria strains in the gut, if they're allowed to overgrow, which is usually because we're not helping the beneficial, friendly, protective bacteria to thrive, sometimes the less friendly, the unfriendly, unruly bacteria strains can then just overgrow. They just take over the show, and they can cause those symptoms that would fall under the umbrella of IBS, you know, bloating, gas, flatulence, gastric reflux, for example. And that would impact the hormonal ride massively, amplifying those perimenopause symptoms. So again, would we just blame perimenopause for it? Or could we look a bit deeper and see if gut imbalances, gut infections are an issue? So it could just be the microbiome imbalance itself, but we could also be infected with something like Blastocystis hominis. There's loads of different, lots of different types of parasites, for example, that we could have been infected with years before on foreign travel or even just in the UK through various means. And it's just gone under the radar. Like, we just don't know it's there, and it's fine. You know, we can sort of live symbiotically with these things, but if they're allowed to really take a hold in the gut and there isn't enough friendly bacteria, protective bacteria to keep it at bay, and there's maybe other digestive imbalances, maybe digestive health is just not working as well as it should, then again, these pathogenic bacteria, these parasites, are really allowed to overtake and just run the show and cause horrible symptoms. So really helpful to get those looked at. Unfortunately, your GP on the NHS would conventional GP, they are able to test and rule out certain things like H. pylori, for example, I think maybe Blastocystis hominis, but there's lots of other strains of parasites that they wouldn't necessarily check for, which is fine, because what they're doing on the NHS is they're ruling out anything that's very sinister. And so if those things aren't there, then they're happy. They know that, you know, there's no inflammatory bowel disease, there's no really sinister strains of parasites, but there are others that can still be causing issues and symptoms, and therefore perimenopause would amplify those. So a comprehensive private stool test would be something that somebody may want to look at in that case. And then even things like undiagnosed Lyme disease. Now, I've never had a case of this in my practice, but I know lots of practitioner friends of mine, particularly those who specialize in chronic fatigue syndrome cases. They have found undiagnosed Lyme disease with their clients as being essentially the root cause of all of their symptoms. And when they've then managed to clear that up for them, these people have literally got their life back. So it hasn't always been as common over here in the UK. It can be more common in the US, I think, and some other countries, but it is becoming more and more common actually over in the UK. If you grew up in the country, for example, and you're always playing outside, in woodlands and things like that, it can be that it's basically Lyme disease is caused by a bacteria called Borrelia burgdorferi, I think, if I've said that right. And that's transmitted to humans through the bite of an infected tick. So not all ticks, just infected ticks. So it's not as common if you're a city dweller, for example, but if you're not, and if you live anywhere outside of the city, it could be something. If you know that you always played outside as a child, for example, it could be something to look into. But again, this would possibly be in more severe cases of, like I said, chronic fatigue syndrome cases. But it is something to consider. So the takeaway is that yes, perimenopause brings real hormonal shifts, but it's not always the root cause of every symptom. We can't always just blame everything on perimenopause. If you're struggling with persistent or unexplained symptoms, it's really important to dig deeper and explore any potential underlying health conditions. Because if they are there, addressing these root causes alongside addressing, you know, the hormonal roller coaster of perimenopause can lead to real healing and a smoother transition through into menopause itself. And this is how I work with my clients in my one-to-one practice. Now, obviously, every single person is completely different. So I have clients who come to me for, you know, look, I just really need help with, I'm in perimenopause, I know, and you know, I'll evaluate their case and sort of be able to see like, yes, this person is in the throes of perimenopause. Their lifestyle and their nutrition isn't really conducive to them having a smooth ride in perimenopause. And that is what we work on. We work on their nutrition and lifestyle changes, habits, interventions, and coaching them to, you know, incorporate new wonderful habits, get rid of some of the ones that aren't helpful, and then they thrive. And that is amazing. And that's exactly what I do in my practice and inside the Empowered Perimenopause subscription as well. But then I have other clients who really come to me with a quite a big health history where I'm really starting to join the dots and I'm saying like, okay, it's likely that this person has some underlying health imbalances here that have just not been caught before. And now that they've moved into perimenopause, they're amplified. So in those cases, I might want to do things like a full thyroid panel. I mean, I would want to do a full thyroid panel with anyone in their 40s who hasn't done it. I would always suggest that we do it. And that would include the antibodies that I mentioned earlier for thyroid autoimmunity to make sure that's not going on, because it is very common, as I said, in our 40s. I would probably want to do an adrenal stress profile potentially. So that would be the saliva test looking at cortisol, seeing what that's doing. It may be that we do the dried urine and saliva hormone test known as the Dutch test. So this is looking at how the person is breaking down and clearing out their used estrogen. So that's really important. And again, if they've had issues with that from a much younger age, that's just going to be amplified as they move into perimenopause. So that would be something I would quite like to do as well. It could be a comprehensive stool analysis where we're really diving deep into their microbiome, their digestive processes, digestive enzyme output, stomach acid output, all of these different things to see what's going on, potentially what's imbalanced in the gut. It may be an organic acids urine test, which looks at things like oxidative markers for oxidative stress in the body and toxic exposure, looking at their mitochondrial function and levels of some really key nutrients to see what we might need to go in there with supplement wise. It may be a urine test for mold and mycotoxicity assessment as well. Not always, but it's just if I'm looking at the person's case history and they're also aware that there could be a risk of mycotoxicity, then that could be something that we'd look at. Of course, as well as the full thyroid panel, which is to me quite a basic test that I'd always want to do with everybody, things like blood glucose levels, insulin, cholesterol, HbA1c, you know, we'd want to be looking at these sorts of markers as well for any woman in their 40s. So again, it really just varies from person to person how deep we might need to go and also how deep they want to go. There are some clients who, I'll just put this out there as well, there's some clients who need to go deeper with all these testing, or I should say, they could really benefit from it, but they don't have the budget for any testing at all. And that's fine, because with or without testing, working with a practitioner like myself, someone similar to me or me, can really help to dig deeper into what could be going on for you. And like I said, you know, evaluating your health history and your current health and your current symptoms and challenges, and just having a look at all of that in line with your current nutrition and lifestyle habits, for example, and your environment and all of that kind of thing. And just saying, okay, well, these are some changes that you could make, and these are some things you could do and some things we could put in, you know, nutritionally, lifestyle wise, supplement wise, that can really help this, this and this. And then usually in most cases, those people are great. You know, they are thriving and off they go. And so, yeah, with or without testing, we can really dig deeper into what might be going on for you and find a resolution that's personalized to you. With testing, if someone's, you know, for example, much more they're quite ill, for example, you know, they know it's perimenopause potentially that's amplifying things, but they do know there's something deeper going on, they can't get the help that they need you know, conventionally, because it's just kind of out of their remit, so they come to either a functional medicine trained practitioner, a nutritional therapist like myself who works in a similar way, and they're aware that there's tests that they can do and they have this budget for it, because they're not cheap, these tests, things like a full thyroid panel the adrenal stress profile, those are usually quite affordable. But the comprehensive stool test, for example, is over £350. The Dutch test is an amazing test, but yeah, it's close to, it's between £250 and £300, depending on the level of test you get. So they're not cheap, and not everyone has that budget. But for those who do, and they want to do it, then it can be really, really helpful. But like I said, the more basic tests like the thyroid, the adrenal stress profile, your blood glucose, insulin, cholesterol, things like that, that you can ask your GP for, and then I can have a look at those results, maybe, you know, in line with everything else, then that is usually more attainable for most. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. And I hope it's been insightful. I hope it's been helpful. And if you have any questions, as ever, please just feel free to email me at francesca@francescaliparotti.com. I'll also have my email address in the show notes. You can DM me on Instagram, which will also be in the show notes. And I'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions, if you want to work together. You can obviously email me, or you can just check out the Work With Me tab on my website at francescaliparotti.com. Again, those links will also be in the show notes. So that's it for this week, and I will be back next week, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.